step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome the author, the fiction author, the novelist, J.H. Gerlander. J.H. is Josh, and I congratulate him on the publication of his first work of fiction, his first book. It is entitled Hold Fast. To get right to the point, this is the Napoleonic era. This is the Royal Navy versus Bonaparte. This is everything we enjoy about Patrick O'Brien's series of books about Aubrey and Maturin, reimagined by a younger man, an American, who has another kind of approach to the Napoleonic era. His hero is a Royal Marine who is also an intelligence agent. The editor of Patrick O'Brien's books over many years, Star Lawrence of Norton, is now the editor of Josh's first book, Gerlander, J.H. Gerlander's Hold Fast. That recommendation to everybody who knows Patrick O'Brien. But for those of you who don't, Josh, congratulations. A very good evening to you. Introduce us to Thomas Gray, the officer in the Royal Marines who has a double life. Good evening to you.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Well, Gray is, the James Bond of the beginning of the Napoleonic Wars. I've been searching for a good, elevator description of him, but I guess that's it. We're right at the transition from the wars of the French Revolution to the Napoleonic Wars. Napoleon has taken over, but he hasn't made himself formally emperor yet. And the English are trying to protect themselves from the growing war on the continent, with everyone else willing to, sign treaties with Napoleon, giving him whatever he wants. The English are a little more reluctant to do that, and they need to know what's going on in Paris. Meanwhile, Gray is despondent over the recent death of his wife and doesn't want to do it anymore and is resigning and moving to the United States. And that's where the book picks up.
Yes, the time period to match it up to Maturin and Aubrey, the time period is the Peace of Amiens, which was signed in March of 1802 and lasted until May of 1803. Josh's story begins in May of 1803 because our hero, Gray, as Josh says, is despondent, is headed to America on a commercial a voyage. However, because the peace has been broken by Napoleon, a warship immediately appears and attacks the merchantmen heading to America. And that, of course, makes Gray's fate profound because it turns him back to Europe. However, Josh, I want to come to this in another version. And you will all recall Patrick O'Brien begins Post Captain, the second book, with the same Peace of Amiens, although in that instance it was March of 1802, when Aubrey and Maturin are headed back to London to get a good assignment, and they learn to their despair that the war is over. There's no more opportunity for advancement. But that's not Thomas Gray's problem. His problem is, as Josh says, his wife is dead. Josh, Gray is a figure of your imagination. The intelligence service is a figure of your imagination, but you framed it understandably with the politics of the time. There wasn't a James Bond secret intelligence service until the 20th century. How then did the Royal Navy gather its intelligence? What do we know, Josh?
Well, it's not entirely dissimilar from what it would become in the 20th century. That is, sending men from Britain who could speak the language and meet people and establish networks of contacts in France and Germany and, well, the German states, the Holy Roman Empire, and Spain and so forth. And you see some of it in the O'Brien novels with Maturin. And I think in or Maturin, a subject of great debate.
Yes, it is. I will go with either, Josh, either.
Well, it's having talked to Starr, you know, he has his views on how it should be pronounced. But I've been saying it one way for so long, I find it very difficult to switch. But he gives you a good sense of the intelligence work that was going on at the time, and part of the genesis of Hold Fast was wondering what a book about the Maturin side of their stories, rather than the sea adventure side quite as much would be like.
We're not aiming to give the story away because it's great fun, and Gray is reckless with his own fate. He throws himself into battle. He's something of a killing machine once he gets going because he's a great shot. But the historical frame, there is no intelligence service. There is no master. There's no M in 1803. There's no M, but there is a Banks that Josh gives us, the master spy, the handler. And there is one particular historical frame that's exciting. Napoleon does plan to invade England, Josh. How do you plan to handle that? Because it hasn't happened yet. And Gray comes across that plot quite amazingly. What do we know about Napoleon's plans today, historically? How far did it get?
It got pretty far. It got to the point of the Army of France, as Napoleon called the Army of England, being massed on the northern border of France, and barges were constructed to sail across. And the only thing standing between that army, that invasion army, and England was the Royal Navy in the Channel, which was blockading all of the northern French ports and keeping the army from departing on a crossing, you know, sort of a reverse D-Day going north. And it did get very close, and it was only the sort of the breaking out of the War of the Third Coalition that distracted Napoleon enough to have to pull those men off the northern coast and send them into battle elsewhere. But he was, for the duration of his time in charge, he was obsessed with invading England. Something like Hitler. He said that if they could, if France could capture England, then they could capture the world. That was the one thing standing between them and real global domination, because the English fleet, of course, was at the time, sort of the guarantors of peace around the world, in a sense the way the American Navy is now.
Yes, the Americans exist. Thomas Jefferson is the president. You will all recall that Napoleon eventually became disconsolate. He just got discouraged about his plans to take over America. And so then he made the decision to sell what became the Louisiana Purchase to the United States. In fact, we continental United States are the product of exactly this period Josh is writing about. So let's plunge into Paris without giving the story away. We plunge into Paris, a series of happenstances, and our hero is recruited by the United Irishmen. Who were they, Josh?
They were a real historical organization in Ireland when just a year or 2 years after Ireland had formally become part of the United Kingdom. So, today in the 21st century, it's the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Then it was the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. And the United Irishmen were sort of a proto-Irish Republican army who were trying to eject the English from Ireland and create a democracy there. It's interesting that actually a lot of the senior figures were Protestant Irishmen. So it wasn't a religious struggle the way we think of it now, but it was you know, a nationalist Irish view of Irish independence.
It reflects what we learn from Maturin in the Aubrey novels, who was alienated the English crown and yet conducted himself honorably as a member of the Royal Navy. And when I met your presentation of the United Irishmen, this is just a few years after the 98, the planned uprising, the Irish still see themselves as allies of Napoleon. Is that how you understood it, Josh?
Yes. Yeah. And the story touches on the lead up to actual events, and this is discussed a little in a historical note at the end of the book. The United Irishmen were actually doing more or less what they're doing in the book. They were preparing for another attempted rising in Ireland as a follow up to the 98 rising in Ireland, and they were going to expect support from France as they had had last time. And they were gathering munitions, and there was an explosion at one of their munition depots, which sort of gave away the game before it started.
The book is Hold Fast. We're going to have some fun, Josh, when we come back. We're going to go to revolutionary, now Napoleonic, Paris with you and see how things have changed and how they've not. This is a work of fiction. Josh and I are having a lot of fun here, but it's a work of fiction with an historical frame that's never not fun to read about. Napoleonic France and the Royal Navy. J.H. Gerlaranter is the author. The book is Hold Fast. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.